Hello, welcome to Off Curve. I'm Wicked Good, and I am talking to you about Hearthstone from the comfort of my streaming chair because, well, it is Thursday, September 3rd, 2020, and that is not the reason that well, I mean, it is because it's Thursday, but we got some balance changes today, so we're gonna talk about those quickly and then talk about what that means. They seem pretty significant. So a couple buffs too, which is interesting. And sometimes the buffs tend to matter more a little bit longer. Like if we look at the Aldor Attendant buff, that actually was pretty significant, as was the Liber of Justice. So we'll talk about that too. As far as ladder's concerned, so I got 11x this month, and I was not expecting that at all because I finished at like 3,000 legend on Monday night. But apparently that was good enough for 11 star multiplier. So yeah, I'm at Diamond One right now, 3 days into the season, and I probably could have pushed the legend last night, but I decided to call it because I was starting to feel tired, and I selfishly wanted to try to do that on stream tonight. So but yeah, I played a like Bomb Warrior up until about, I forgot what I played between like gold and diamond, but I ended up picking up Mallee Druid at Diamond 5 and went like 8-3 with it, and now I'm at Diamond 1. So that's pretty good, and that seems like a deck that's not going to change too much. Though apparently there's a Faerûs build that I might try if I hit Legend after this. I played it a little bit the other day and it felt pretty good, and I want to experiment with it a little bit more. But enough about me. We have some nerfs to discuss. So I'll put these up on screen for those of you who are in the live stream right now, and of course you'll be able to find a link to the patch notes at offcurve.com, and you can check those out after the while you're listening to this behind the scenes. It's not gonna be up now for those of you in chat because obviously the episode's not up. But so we got five changes, and these seem relatively significant. And then three of them are nerfs and two of them are buffs. So let's just kind of get into that. So the first one is that Secret Passage is going to be going from five cards from your deck to replace your hand with four cards from your deck and then swap back next turn. This seems like a pretty big deal. I don't think this is enough to stop Rogue from being played or for to stop Secret Passage from being played, but I think it might change the way that we play Rogue a little bit. I mean, I'm clearly, if you listen to the show at all, you know I am far from a Rogue expert. Like far from it. But like a lot of what has made Rogue so powerful is the fact that you can just reload super hard in the mid game and just get those five cards and then sometimes chain them again and get 10. And a lot of those cards will draw you other cards, so you're generating value that stays in your hand even after the Secret Passage. And I think that just getting fewer answers from that will make that feel a little bit more fair. I think you still play it. It may push the meta a little bit more towards the secret rogue that Vicious Syndicate is calling Miracle Rogue, even though nobody else is, because most people consider Miracle Rogue to have a Gadgetzan Auctioneer in it. But the one that runs Secrets and Edwin and Questing Adventurers, I think that's probably going to become more of the standard. I do wonder how much staying power the aggro list is going to have, the one that's running all the weapons. And like that feels like it kind of relies on the Secret Passage for reload a lot more than the secret list does. But so it might change the way that rogues are playing, and it's certainly going to change the power level of the decks. Like just dropping from five to four cards is a lot. It's going to mean that when you do that, at the beginning of your turn, like you're going to have four fewer cards. Now, Rogue is pretty good at generating resources, so that may be okay ultimately. Certainly in like the Secret Rogue, or if we go to like a Galakrond Rogue that's running it, that's not really being played right now, but we could go back to Galakrond Rogue. And that deck for sure, four cards would be plenty. But it may kind of blunt the aggro list a little bit, the aggro stealth list, and I'd be okay with that because that aggro list is kind of annoying to play against. So the next card that's changing is Cabal Acolyte. That is going from a 4 mana 2/6 to a 4 mana 2/4. You're not playing for this for the body. Like, I don't think this affects you playing Cabal Acolyte, because if you're playing Cabal Acolyte, you're probably playing it for the effect that's on the card less than from the body. But what this does is it means that the body is a less effective defensive tool. There's a bit more of a cost to be putting Cabal Acolyte in your deck, which there really should be, right? Like, it's like 6 health is a ton. Like, we saw with, like, Shadow Jeweler Hanar and with Evil Miscreant, those were both 1/5s instead of 1/4s, and those both had to get nerfed down to 1/4. Just because, like, 5 health is a lot, and 6 health is a ton, especially on 4. And being able to get that kind of a big body along with that powerful effect, I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm all for Priest getting powerful cards. It was probably a little bit overtuned. So it's going to be a little bit more reasonable to clear it. Again, you're playing it for the effect. So, like, Highlander Priest certainly is not cutting it. Some of the Yoink Priests that are coming up or like the full Galakrond Priests, you probably still run it. It's still a taunt, right? Like, you used to play like Imprisoned Homunculus just to get a 2/5 on 3, right? And you'll play other taunts like that are fine. So I don't really think that we're going to stop playing Cabal Acolyte. Like, it's certainly not one that I would recommend that you go ahead and dust. But I do think that it's going to... Because I think the Priest would have been one of the big beneficiaries of Rogue getting hit with the Nerf Bat on Secret Passage. And so this is kind of bringing Priest's power level down a little bit. So maybe people will stop spamming Delete Priest a little bit. But probably not, because, you know, that's not the card that people are complaining about most of the time. But it is ubiquitous. It's an auto include in every Priest deck right now. So making it a little bit weaker, just to make it a little bit more of a choice that you're making, even though the choice is probably going to be put in most of the time anyway, is probably reasonable. And then we get to the big one, which is Dark Glare. And Dark Glare got pretty much the Warsong Commander treatment. Not entirely, but this is as close to like a Warsong Commander level nerf as we've seen in a long time to a card in Standard. So Dark Glare is going from a 3 mana 3/4 that reads after your hero takes damage, refresh 2 mana crystals, to a 2 mana 2/3 that says after your hero takes damage, refresh a mana crystal. And that's kind of bananas. Now, the reason for this is that Dark Glare Warlock was basically tier S in Wild. It was more or less the only deck, because you can do obnoxious things. I honestly haven't played a lot of Wild, so I don't know. I mean, I know enough to have seen it, and it's really powerful. And you've got Molten Giants and Mountain Giants too, so you can do a lot with Dark Glare that you can't necessarily do in Standard. But this is also kind of notable because this is one of the first times that they've nerfed a card this significantly for Wild while it was still in Standard. Like, they have made some changes, but like, this is probably the biggest Wild only nerf that was for a card that was going to be in Standard for more than a couple of weeks. Like, they nerfed, I mean, I guess like Raza was kind of that, and patches, but those were still Standard legal at the time. And like, mostly what they're nerfing are things like Naga Sea Witch and Aviana and stuff like that. But nerfing a Standard card for Wild is actually a really good thing for the Wild community. And I can't really speak to what that means for Wild. I mean, that probably means you just go and play Quest Mage again, because Dark Glare Warlock was basically what pushed out Quest Mage. So, you know, Quest Mage and Raza Priest probably just go back up to the top and just regain their normal stature, because like, there's so much power in Wild that getting rid of one deck just means that you get a new alpha, basically. In Standard, Zoo was actually a pretty powerful deck that was starting to get a lot of traction. And this is going to hurt it like a lot. I'm pretty dubious on like Zoo's power in Standard. really revolved around you being able to get so much extra mana in a turn, being able to play things like Flame Imp for one mana and get two mana back, being able to Penflinger your face and get two mana back, being able to Raise Dead and get two mana for free. And if that's all reduced to one, like, most of those things don't work anymore. And even, like, tapping, like, usually you just Dark Lair on five and tap, and then you get two mana back, and now only getting one mana back, I mean, it's Zoo, you can use it, but getting that cut in half is ginormous, because that means probably a lot of times somewhere on the order of 3 to 5 mana a turn that you're losing. And if you're losing all that mana, then it's really hard for you to be able to snowball that advantage and be able to just kind of get the early jump on the opponent the way that you used to with that deck, the way that you can do now pre-nerf. So it's pretty devastating for Zoo and Wild in standard. I mean, it's devastating for Zoo and Wild as well, but it's definitely devastating for Zoo and standard. And I don't know that I see that deck coming back. I would say, like, I always recommend, in general, I should say this. I say this every time, but I should say that just in case you're a new listener and you haven't heard this before. If you are, like, all of these are that are being nerfed are all epic. If your next question is, should I dust this? The answer is yes. You should dust it immediately and then just hold on to the dust and see if those cards get played again. Something like Cabal Acolyte probably will. Secret Passage probably will. Dark Lair may not. But, you know, just don't craft anything with the dust right away, right? So, like, you hold on to the dust. And the reason you do this is because it's going to take a couple weeks to figure out, like, is the card still good? So you dust it ahead of time and just get the dust for it. And if you have to recraft it, you're right back where you started. No harm, no foul. If you wait, rather, and then you forget about it, and it turns out it's not being used, then you just have that sitting in your collection when you could pretty much craft a legendary if you dust two cop. Well, I guess half a legendary, right? Because it's 400 dust. But you can go ahead and you know, craft half your legendary with what you have in your collection, and certainly the goldens are something you want to be looking at too. And we did get two buffs. They have been doing this more regularly when they've been doing balance changes, which I think is good, because some of these things are kind of under, you know, missing the mark a little bit, and being able to give them a little bit of a nudge to see if they see a little bit more play outside of, like, a huge event is a good thing. So Totem Goliath is going from a 5-mana 4-5 Death Rattle Summon All 4 Basic Totems Overload 2 to a 5-mana 5-5 with Death Rattle Summon All 4 Basic Totems Overload 1. And I think that is going to make Totem Goliath playable. Like, Totem Shaman was kind of almost there, but the problem with Totem Goliath is that Overload 2 is so much overload. Like, Overload 1 generally you can deal with. Overload 2 is basically, like, if you're playing something that has overload more than one, you generally need to be okay with skipping your next turn, more or less, right? Just because that sometimes is what happens. And so this was really unplayable because, like, yeah, you have totem synergies, but, like, 5-mana 4-5, yeah, you get the totems on board, but it's awkward. And then having to take two less mana is a really big deal. And, like, the natural thing that you want to do the turn after your opponent clears this is Bloodlust. And you can't do that if you're overloaded for two. You can do that if you're overloaded for one. You can go 5-mana Totem Goliath into 5-mana that's unlocked into Bloodlust. So that's a thing you can do. So I think the fact that this is, like, I said in my initial review of the card, like, Overload 2 is a lot. And that's enough to keep it from seeing play. And I was right. And I think that this is a good change for that. I don't know that I love seeing this card coming back. I wasn't super excited about this card being a thing. But if it's going to be at least playable in the Totem Shaman. So that's something that you can probably experiment with. And then Archwitch Willow is going from, started as a 9-mana 7-7, Battlecry Summon a Random Demon from your hand and deck, to an 8-mana 5-5 with the same Battlecry. And, sure. Like, I guess. The problem with Archwitch Willow isn't so much the cost. It's just that, like, demons in like demons in standard just aren't great, and there's not like a lot of big demons in warlock that you really want to be like summoning out, right? Like you would play Jaraxxus, but like Jaraxxus is bad for this, and so is Sathravar, right? Like you could get a Jumbo Imp, but like nobody's like Jumbo Imp just seems like meh. I mean, you've got like at 7 and 8 mana, you've got Siegebreaker, Fellord, Betrug, and Enhanced Dreadlord. Like, maybe that's a thing. Or maybe there's some sort of a combo that involves cheating out a Fellord, Betrug. But, like, I don't know that... this might be just, like, a future-looking thing. I don't know. Because, like, even if you go down to 6 mana, you've got, like, Xavius, which is the old Illidan. You've got, like, Mad Summoner and Scavenging Shervara and Portal Overfiend and Riftcleaver are all just kind of bad. Arnassi Broodmother, you don't want to be summoning out of your deck. You want to be drawing it. Like, Dread Infernal, okay. But, like, most of them are just, like, not worth the effort of putting that card in your deck. So maybe in the third set there will be something like that. I mean, it might be something that people start experimenting with in Wild in a Q block just to get the extra demons out of your deck. That could be a thing. But I'm not super sold on Archwitch Willow in standard being a card. But maybe soon, if we get some demons that are worth summoning, like Recruit's scary, right? And summoning from hand is scary too. So as long as there's something to back up that scariness, then, you know, there might be something here. But right now, it just doesn't exist. A couple of other things that are coming as part of this patch that... You want to be aware of. There are going to be some Battlegrounds changes. I'm not a Battlegrounds podcast. Go listen to Bob's Tavern if you want to have if you want to get some background on that. But I will just kind of point that out, that there are those there. We're getting more single player content in a week, which is great. I guess in 2 weeks, on the 15th, they're going to be doing a single player story for each one of the heroes. You'll get a class specific pack for completing it, which is nice. But the big thing is, on the 23rd, we're getting Heroic Brawlesium. And Heroic Brawlesium is a big deal. So, and I know that there's going to be some questions about what do I do about Heroic Brawlesium. And this is my advice about Heroic Brawlesium. So now if you, and actually, if you don't know what I'm talking about, so Heroic Brawlesium is, we've had some like non-Heroic Brawlesiums recently. Heroic Brawlesium is like basically arena rules. You play until you lose 3 or you win 12. And the difference is that the entry is 1,000 gold or $10. And the rewards are way higher. Like you can get, if you get up to 10 wins, you get one golden legendary along with packs and dust. And at 12 wins, you get around 1,100 dust, 1,100 gold, and 3 golden legendaries. Which, that's significant, right? But I would caution you, if you are building your collection and you need to save that gold, maybe if you can afford to do one for the experience, it might be worth it. But I would not look at that as a gold farming opportunity. The thing with Heroic Brawlesium in particular is that it's gated high to try to keep the level of competition high. So what you're going to be doing is you're going to be playing against legend level players mostly. People have been playing the game a very long time and have the gold to spare. Like I've basically been saving up my gold since the expansion launched, because I got all but like one or two legendaries that I can just craft whenever I need to. And I've got 3,000 gold saved up already. So I've got like 3 runs paid for. And I'm pretty confident that even if I spent all that gold and didn't get anything back, I could start saving up again from the day after the Brawlesium ends, and I could probably still have enough to be able to buy enough packs to get all like most of the legendaries of the third set. But not everyone's in that position. So what you want to be careful that you're not looking at this like the regular Brawlesium as a gold farming opportunity. Like, they don't even say what the rewards are for 0, 1, and 2 wins, and there may not be any. It may be that you have to get the minimum 3 wins even to get anything back. And even then, like, you're looking at, like, it the It's 400 gold and 400 dust for 9 wins. 9 wins is a lot with only 3 losses. Like, if you've ever done a Brawlhalla, you know how difficult it is to get, like, that deep into a run. And normally in the regular Brawlhalla, like, 7 wins was the break-even point. And here, like, you will not break even on... You will not get your gold back unless you go all the way. Even 11 wins is only 480 gold. You will get 2 golden legendaries with that. And 480 dust, which is probably worth more in terms of dust for crafting than whatever you would have spent. But it's not going to make sense from an economic standpoint if you're looking for it to get the rewards out of it. You should be looking at it as a way to challenge yourself. Like, I think that the real thing there is that you want to be challenging yourself and seeing how you can do and seeing how far you can go. Like, that's a really great reason to do it, but do it expecting that you're spending 1,000 gold for that experience, and that 1,000 gold is gone. It's like, think of it like going to Vegas responsibly, right? You're not going to Vegas and going to a casino expecting to win more money than you came back with. You're expecting to lose that money if you come back with more than great, right? So think of it like gambling. Think of it as money you're spending for the experience, and then you'll be a lot happier with it. But if you're expecting to farm gold, I would be very careful about that, because you're not going to get your reward, your, unless you're doing really like gangbusters, you're not going to make that back, and you're not going to be able to fund multiple runs with this. Okay. So, really, that's pretty much all I got. I do have a question from chat, and Matt at Arms asked, do I find the GameCube, which is referring to a tweet that I made on Twitter today, where my 13-year-old daughter discovered that we own a GameCube so she could play Super Mario Sunshine. I did not find it because I haven't looked for it, but I know where it is. So it shouldn't take me too long to find it. So that's going to be our Labor Day weekend activity, I suppose. And BR Milwaukee asked, do any standard decks get better because of these nerfs? I think Druid does. I think anything that was being held back by Rogue probably does. So, like, Druid, Turtle Mage, maybe. Anything that is, like, anything that was, Priestess probably gets a little bit better, even despite the Cabal Acolyte nerf. Just because any, like, you're losing 2 very aggressive decks, right? So anything that took time to get set up, or that, you know, could withstand a couple of Rogue's waves of address of aggression, but then have to but then get blown out by the Secret Passage, like, those decks might get a little bit better. They might be a little bit more resilient or more able to kind of make the Rogue run out of steam. I don't think anything really gets affected by the Cabal Acolyte nerf. And I mean, the same decks that are going to get improved by Rogue taking a step back are going to get super improved by the Warlock taking a step back. So yeah, I would say the slower decks, Druid, maybe Bomb Warrior, Priest for sure. Trying to think of some of the mages might get a little bit better. Like, the decks that take a few turns to get set up and can't really afford to be responding to their opponent every turn from the beginning, like, those will probably be the decks that that get improved as a result of this nerf. But we'll have to see. And it's also, this is the second Masters Tour, I think, in a row where we're getting nerfs like 2 days before deck submissions, which I wish that they would plan that a little bit better. But, you know, what are you going to do? But anyway, so that's going to do it for me for this week. If you're still here in chat, we're going into stream right after this, so don't go anywhere. If you are listening at home, make sure to come by the stream. I stream every Monday and Thursday night, Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/wickedgoodfm. So do make sure to drop by. I would love to have you. You can also come by the Discord, which is at discord.offcurve.com. We have a lovely group of people there. It's always a really positive discussion. You can find the show notes with the link to the patch notes at offcurve.com. You can follow the Twitter account at offcurve if you just want announcements for when new episodes go live. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at wickedgood, where you get that and a whole bunch of other stuff that you may not have planned for, but that's, you know, how my Twitter feed goes. And you can also go to offcurve.com/masterstour if you are looking for stats for If you're looking for stats for the Masters Tour qualifiers and also for the Masters Tour that's going to be next week, that I will be, I believe that's Montreal, so that should be on U.S. time. So I'll be updating the stats for that throughout the weekend. So go make sure to check that out while you're and that has links to all of the deck lists and everything. It's a lot of good information over there. So good luck to you. Hopefully, you know, if you're looking for a change, hopefully the nerfs bring you what you're looking for. Most of all, be good to each other. We'll talk soon. Have a good one.